Amen. God's a good God. Amen. I'm excited. It's now springtime, so we can get rid of the winter. You know, put that behind. Old things passed away. All things become new. So no more too cold weather. You know, I know I'd rather be 70 degrees every day, and it hasn't been every day this week, but that's okay. You know, it's better than zero. Yes. Amen. Well, praise God. I do want to make a commercial real fast before I start my message. I always like to let everyone know about the podcast and what's going on in the podcast. And our last two episodes, actually, Brother Tony McKinnon was talking to us about the book of Psalms. And some of you might have had his class as a student. Some of you might have heard he spoke a little bit here at Winter Bible Seminar on that subject. And so it helps you learn Psalms in a different way as we listen. In fact, it was funny because it was me and Anthony Washington. And now when I went to Raymond, we didn't have the book of Psalms. So I had an excuse. I'm like, man, I learned things I didn't even know before. And because I said, I didn't have the class. I said, you have the class? And he goes, yeah, I had the class. But somebody else taught it. And he didn't learn as much. You know, we learned some things. And the cool thing about it is on yesterday's episode, in the middle of our podcast, Anthony Washington got a song, or maybe you can call it a psalm. You know, it's just pretty awesome that happened. And then coming up tomorrow, we'll have two episodes with Reverend Gary Crowell. And Gary told me some things I didn't know about him. I knew he came from Iowa. I didn't know that he came from a Mennonite church. And so he was a Mennonite, and the Lord, someone gave him one of Brother Hagin's books, and the rest is history. You know, he's been the dean here a couple of different times. He started multiple Ramas, all international schools, and we talk about those as well. But wonderful things are happening on the podcast, and so, you know, please listen. Especially if you know someone in Wyoming and somebody in Vermont. Those two states are the only states in the union that have listened to our podcast. I mean, so send them over there. All right, if you have your Bible or your device, let's go to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start with verse 17. Romans 10, 17, and many of you probably could quote it without me even reading it. We're just going to go ahead and read from the New King James Version. It says this, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And if any of you have ever heard my grandfather preach on this message, he always says it this way, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You know, and he says that Greek word there for the word hearing represents continuous action, continuing to hear. So my title tonight, I don't always have titles, but tonight I have one, is "What Are You Hearing?" What are you hearing? Because it says that we need to continuously to hear, because the way we build our faith is by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And so that's how we build our faith. Now, I know my grandfather always pointed out that it doesn't say that faith comes by having heard the word of God. And unfortunately, there are a lot of churches that at one time they taught faith, but I don't know if they've gone beyond that or whatever, and that, you know, they're not continuing to teach faith. Now, I think it's important that every church, you know, continues to teach even the basics of faith, because if we are continuing to go out and do what the Bible says, continuing to make disciples, continuing to get people saved, then they should have the same basics that you had. And, you know, and so some people say, well, some people get mad. They're like, well, I already know all that. You know, but you don't know all that. Now, you know, I was just thinking about this thinking about, you know, lists and things like that. Now, everybody has different you know, ways that they go to the grocery store and different people. It turns out, and I'm the one who goes to the grocery store at my house. And if anyone had my financial management class, you know why. Because anytime I send someone else to the grocery store, they spend more money than I do. You know, and that's just the way it is. And I do most of my shopping at Walmart. You might call it Super Walmart. I mean, you know, at Walmart, you can buy tires if you want. I mean, you know, you can buy, you know, blow dryers, and you can buy all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, you went there to buy potato chips and come back with, you know, a new wardrobe. So it's like, you know, And it happens sometimes when you send some people to the store. Now, I always try going to Walmart. I try to put the weirdest combinations together to buy something from one section, buy something from another section, and then watch the people, when they're ringing it up or whatever. But when I go to Walmart, there's two things that happen. There are some times I go to Walmart and I'm trying to think, now, what did my wife say we needed? Now, here's the thing. I heard her tell me, and sometimes I heard her tell me more than one time. And I listened to that. But when I got to Walmart, I wasn't able to put it in action. I don't know how many times I've got to Walmart and had to make phone calls. Or sometimes I didn't make a phone call and came home and said, the only thing I really needed at the store was the one thing I didn't buy. So what I do is now I'm better at it. I either do one or two things. Either I have her write a list down and text it to me, or I write a list down. In fact, I can actually go through my last list. I'm not going to, but I have like 10 things on a note that I just bought like 3 days ago. And so, but when I go through my list, now what I do, because I'm an expert shopper, is I take my list and I know, do you understand how many of you shop at Walmart? Now, do you realize for whatever strange reason, they put the pharmacy on the other side of the store, then they put the groceries. And so I want to make sure that I don't go, if I go to the pharmacy department, I want to make sure I get everything that's over there on that side of the store. Now, at my Walmart, by where I live, the pets section is also on the pharmacy side. Now, at the Rainbow Walmart right down here, the pet side is actually close to the groceries. And so sometimes on the way home, I stop on that one because if I have groceries and pets to buy, I'm like, I don't have to walk the whole store. But then, I am trying to lose weight, so sometimes better exercise. I go to the other Walmart and get more exercise. And usually when I'm there at Walmart, after I've gone by the, because I always start out, for whatever reason, I start at the pharmacy section first. And then, about 15 minutes later, when I'm over to the food section, I get a phone call or a text, hey, can you pick up, hairspray? I'm like, hairspray's on the other side of the store. I don't want to do that. But anyway, the point is, but while I'm, even going through my list, I don't know how many times that I read my list and kind of, now if I had one of those, I do have an iPad and I should have the checker thing that would check off, and I don't have that. So, on the new one, maybe I'll get the pen and things like that. So because I don't check it off, I want to make sure. And I don't know how many times that right before I check out, I go through the whole list making sure I have that. Now, why am I telling you all that? I spend a lot of time making sure I heard, making sure I put into practice the natural things to buy groceries. But how much time do we do the same thing with the Word of God? I mean, how many times are we like the person who hears and shows up to Walmart and can't remember what they heard? When I'm saying, your Walmart is when you start going through a crisis. How many times, as we get older, our memory sometimes fades. How many times have you been with someone? I mean, I've been out, I think actually, this would be my 30 years out of college. I graduated from Oklahoma State University 30 years ago this year. All right, so, I'm now have reached a point where my high school days were the good old days, And so, but how many times have you, either been in person with one of your friends or maybe online or via text and they bring up something and you're like, man, until they remind you, you didn't even remember that. And then you start remembering. But if you come the same way with the Word, sometimes that we know the Word, but we kind of forget what we know. And even whenever we're facing times, I know people personally that I have helped through a crisis, help them, help manage them through their crisis, and then they have a similar crisis years later, and they don't even remember a scripture that I gave them before. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word. But you know what? If no one's preaching the Word, we're not hearing the Word. Now, I understand we live in a day and age, you don't have an excuse because, You can find someone preaching the word online 24 hours a day. All right. Now, I'm not, sometimes maybe it's not, they're not rightfully dividing the word, but they're preaching the word or some kind of word. But I want to kind of read this. Sometimes we don't actually look at a Bible in context. We don't look at a scripture in context. So I want to look at the scripture in context and, let's go back to Romans 10, 9. Now, Romans 10, 9 and 10, we all think of that as the scriptures that we use for salvation, correct? All right, and it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we all know that scripture. And then it goes on to say, verse 11, for the scripture says that whoever believes on him, he will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Paul was saying there that it didn't matter who you are, didn't matter where you came from, didn't matter your nationality. It didn't matter whether you were red, yellow, black, or white. Didn't matter whether you came from midtown, uptown, downtown, no town, the suburbs, the sticks, behind the railroad tracks, above the railroad tracks, over the railroad tracks, or you were in a penthouse in the sky. Or I guess it was a deluxe apartment in the sky, for some of you that used to watch TV in the 1970s. Wherever you came from, you can be saved. If you say it with your mouth, believe in your heart, that's our thing. But it goes on to talk about having faith because the way we're saved is by believing in him. That's having faith in him. All right. But it goes on to say, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So, we can't hear the word unless we know the word. All right? Now we also understand that this book was written in a different time than we live today. All right? At the time this book was written, really, the only way to hear the word was for somebody to come and preach the word. Because you realize that people didn't walk around with a device that had 28 translations of the Bible in English and plus whatever other language you want, in one device. People didn't even have the paper Bible, or whatever. Now, I'm assuming that the church might have had some scrolls with some of the, maybe some of the Old Testament, maybe the Gospels or whatever, but you also need to realize that all the letters to all the different churches that Paul wrote, I don't know if in Corinth they had the letters from Philippians. I mean, I'm assuming they didn't. So the only way people could hear was somebody preach the word. Now, we live in a different day and a different age. And you understand that we have the word written down for us. And so one way to hear is actually to read the word. All right? And there's no excuse for you not reading the word. I mean, I know you can say the Bible's boring or this is boring or that's boring or whatever, but there's no real excuse You realize the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. And majority of us have a cell phone. Majority of our cell phones are what we call a smartphone that you can download a free device to have the Bible. So there's no excuse for not reading the Word except for just being too lazy to read the Word. And because, sometimes we think the only way to get the Word is to hear the Word. But that's not the way we live. Reading the word is just like hearing the word, because what our senses are taking in, what's being said by the Lord. And in fact, it's the same way. Have any of I used to read John Grisham novels. I probably need to get back to reading novels. But, you know, it's interesting, whenever you read a novel, and then a few years later the movie comes out, and you go to that movie, and there are some things in that movie that wasn't like you read or wasn't like you pictured in your own mind whenever you were reading the novel. And I know people are like, I didn't like the movie, I liked it better on paper. Well, you know, some of us are waiting for the Bible, the movie, and I know there have been movies about the Bible, but there's not been a comprehensive 66 chapter, Bible, the movie coming out yet. You know, and I know some of you would rather get the Cliff Notes of the Bible, but it's called the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. So we need to read the Word. And, this verse right here tells us to read the Word because, by reading the Word, we're hearing the Word. Now, I know some people who act like to read the Word out loud. If that's what you want to do, if you want to do be an out loud reader, then read an out loud book. I know some people that are too lazy to read. Well, there is the Bible on tape or the Bible on CD now or whatever, or you for $29.95 plus sales tax. If you're at 3 a.m. up at nighttime, there's a device you can buy. My wife actually bought me one that has the Bible, because that's one of those things that you buy something to everybody who already has. I'm like, well, I can do that on my device. I didn't need you to pay $29.95 for that little thing, but thank you for the Christmas present I don't need. But anyway. So it's in a closet somewhere. But, in fact, I think this Bible will actually read scriptures to you from this Bible program right here. But faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word. We got to continue to read the Word, continue to hear the Word. And, a lot of people never pick up their Bible unless they're headed to church. Now, obviously, if your Bible's on your device, you probably pick it up more because you have text people and you got to talk to people and things like that. But you might never open the Bible program unless you're at church. Now, I realize that there are a number of you, because I know that here at our church, we have some super exceedingly abundantly Christians that daily read a couple of verses. But I know there's some people that read the same verses every day, but they don't read all the verses. But I do know there are some of you that are on the Bible reading plan, and you read it through. But we got to continue to read the Word, continue to hear the Word, because we're continuing to build our faith. Because I found out it's really hard to build your faith when you're going through the crisis. The time to build your faith is when everything is hunky-dory and everything seems great. And you're like, do you live in the real world, Craig? This is, it's 2021 now, all right? 2020 was the best year ever. This is the year of awesomeness, and if you read the Word more, you have a better year. If you read the Word more, you would know how to claim your year. Actually last week, podcast, we talked to Pastor Paul Cavanaugh. Not only did he have to go through COVID and, through his church there in 2020, his town and his church got hit not by one, but by two hurricanes. The moral of the story, he said 2020 was his best year ever because he continued to read the Word, continue to act upon the Word, continue to be a doer of the Word. Now, we might as well go ahead and read 16 since I haven't read 16 yet. But but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, the Lord who has believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to continue to hear the Word if we want to continually change our life. Now, I want to flip the script a little bit right here. Because this, I'm out now to the point where I've been meditating on the last couple of days. Because it just hit me the other day, if faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And, the title of my message is, What Are You Hearing? Because a lot of times in our life, our daily life Maybe you read the word on your personal time, but the rest of your daily life, you're not hearing a lot of uplifting conversations. You're not hearing a lot of things that are building you up. In fact, there's a lot of negativity in the world. And, you know, if anyone's been watching the news over the last year and a half, actually, if you've watched the news at all, no matter what it was, you realize the news, even local, national, regional, doesn't matter, they focus in on the worst things. Every once in a while, they have a humanitarian story that's really nice about Rex the dog, who was lost for 6 days, and it was raining, and some old farmer found Rex out in the middle of nowhere, and they were 60 miles away from where they lost Rex, and everybody's all happy about it, and we give a clap about it. But that's not the normal news. The normal news opens up and says, you know, we all were there with COVID. Well, today we had another, 25,000 people died. I mean, that's how the news opened. So, you know, they always focus on the negativity. Now, I'm going to tell you negative things happen in your life. But the Bible says not to focus on the negative, but to focus on Jesus. But it's hard to focus on Jesus when everything that you hear, everything that you see is negative. Because see, here's the thing. Not only do we hear things, we see things. And you realize when you hear a minister, you're not just hearing a minister, you're also seeing them speak. So that reminds me of a Christmas song. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Well, the thing is, what are you hearing and what are you seeing and what are you watching? And because what you see and what you hear is ultimately what you're going to start believing. Now, well, for instance, I know a young man who got a job working construction. And, I was talking to him one day, and he says, Craig, I work with a lot of folks who originally came from South America, Mexico, and they, I guess, Latin Americans. And they speak a lot of Spanish, and I've learned a lot of Spanish. And so I said, well, what did you learn in Spanish? He goes, actually, I can't say a lot of the Spanish words I learned because they're not appropriate. and I'm like, well, glad you learned some Spanish, but I'm not sure where you're going to put it. You're not going to be ordering tacos and tamales that way. But the point is, I was saying, is that that atmosphere he's around at all day long. Now, he might not understand Spanish, but eventually he figured out what it means. And a lot of times, we can't change, that kind of situation, but we can change whenever we have control. What are you watching? What are you listening to? What's going on in your life? I got to a point, I like to educate myself, okay? I like to know what's going on in the real world. I know educate's not a real word, but I like to know what's going on in the world. And so I tend to listen and to watch the news and different things like that. But I got to a point where even I was tired of watching the news. And I'm just tired of the negativity. And even some of those stations that tend to be more positive still would slant negative quite a bit. I just don't want to be a part of that. In fact, I don't know, that's why a lot of people are not even on social media anymore, because they're tired of all the negativity. And then you have, someone starts a campaign, everyone put a picture of your kids up there so we can see a bunch of pictures of the kids instead of reading a bunch of junk on social media. What are we inundating ourselves with on a daily basis? And the Bible also says to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not going to depart. What is your kid doing? I'm not here to complain. You realize that a lot of children, instead of spending time with them, they give them stuff to make use of their time, whether it be, some kind of device, some kind of video game, or internet access, whatever. And actually, back in the 90s, I did a thing that says the in America, at that point in time, there were $550 million worth of what they called hush money that the parents gave to their teenagers so they didn't have to spend time with them. The average American father spent 1 minute a day with their children. Average American mother spent three. I mean, that's quality time. You know, they call it quality time where actually they're paying attention to their kid. So, you know, that means I'm sure most of your kids probably aren't sitting around reading the Word. You know, they might get it when they come to Sunday school or children's church or school of the Bible or whatever, but they're not reading the Word. But then again, man, when I was a youth minister, I don't know how many times, especially, you know, and I'm not picking on single moms, you know, but a lot of times you had single moms that had sons, you know, that are 15 and they're frustrated. Some of you might have been there before. And so those are the people a lot of times that would come and talk to me as a youth minister because they don't know what to do with their kid. And I find out, I said, yeah, I tell my kid all the time, you're going to end up in jail just like your daddy. I'm like, that's uplifting. That's encouraging. You know, and actually, if you go back to read my grandfather's book, he talked about how you should surround your kids with faith and love. You know, you should always uplift your kids and not tell them, you know, the negative things. You should always tell them that what they can do and not what they can't do. You know, I know that my sister will tell you the same thing, that every time that the way our family worked, it was our dad who dropped us off to school, and the last thing out of his mouth was that Daddy loves you and Jesus loves you and you can do anything you want to do. There's nothing that you can't do. So I always knew there's nothing I can't do without God. So if I decided, you know, I want to be president, I always felt I could be president because there was no limitations. My you know, and I don't understand a lot of times, you know, people think, well, I can't do this and I can't. See, I've never been taught I can't do anything. So I always been taught the scripture. The scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I thank God for a heritage in learning faith at a young age. I mean, every time something happens, I start quoting scriptures. But you realize you can't quote something you haven't heard. You can't quote something you don't know. Now, I do know a lot of you do quote scriptures as well and do know scriptures, you know, as well. But then again, are you just quoting them or are you actually living them? I mean, I know a lot of people that wake up first thing they do in the morning. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And they go downstairs and gripe at their kids. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm very guilty of this. So, you know, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. How many times at our own, even our own house, are we negative and frustrated? Sometimes we're frustrated with things that happen at work, then we come home and take it out on our family. You know, but how many times do we talk more negative things than we do positive things when we're home? And because you know what? When faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, if your kid only hears negative things all the time and we're supposed to raise them up, then what are they hearing? What are they hearing? If they're always hearing stuff like, man, we never have enough to do anything. You know, this Christian walk isn't working real well because it seems like that we're always broke. You realize you're going to have whatever you say. And if you've learned anything from this ministry, the Bible says you can have what you say you can have. You can do, you know, what it says you can do. But you know what? If you don't know what the word says, then you can't take that to practice. So it's very important, but, you know, to hear the word. But it's also very important, you know, for us to walk. Because remember, I spoke about this a couple weeks ago about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, to walk in love and joy and kindness and even long suffering. You know, we should try to be more happy. Try to gripe more. I mean, gripe less. Gripe less and love more. You know, and I've actually made a conscious effort. I'm not the best at it in the world. You can ask my wife. I'm probably really bad a lot of times. You know, you guys all see me as the loving person, you know, sweet, loving person, you know, but I'm not always like that, you know. I'm telling on myself. I'm not going to tell on Tony, you know. but he has his issues too, all right? We talk about that on the podcast or before the podcast sometimes. So, but anyway, we all have our issues. We're all human. But you know what? We should consciously work more. You know, but here's the thing. As you get older, you realize that you don't have a lot of say-so with your kids anymore, even if they're in your own house. You know, sometimes you listen. I mean, I just wish they were there so I could gripe at them, because now they're not. They're nowhere. You know, and, I just thought about it the other day. Now, you know, obviously I have kids. I have stepkids. We're just having kids together. And so my oldest grandson turned 11 this week. 11 years old. And I'm thinking, gosh, I'm getting old. You know, so the good part about my natural kids, I haven't had any kids yet. So, you know, so I can feel a little young, you know, but I do have 4 grandchildren, you know, so, but I'm in better shape than I have been in the last 10 years. So look at that. So, you know, but what are we feeding our kids? What are we, and I don't mean feeding them like what you're feeding them. I mean, first of all, are you talking to them? Do they know the word? Do you realize a lot of times that kids, when I'm saying kids, I'm talking about anywhere from little bitty to all the way up. A lot of times they're not very, they don't communicate a lot. A lot of times they're going through a lot of stuff on their own that they won't communicate to you. And if they don't know the word for themselves, they can't quote the word for themselves. They can't use the word. You know, I remember, I think it was, well, I actually, long story how it happened. I won't go into how it happened because my dad feels bad. Anyway, but I broke my ankle back in the 8th grade. All right, and I didn't just break my ankle. I like knocked it off the growth plate, and it was really, really bad. And we were out riding off-road motorcycles. And the thing about it is, as soon as I hit the ground, I knew it was bad and stuff. And my dad gave me the choice. Do we want to go to the hospital here? We were in Miami, Oklahoma, or outside of Miami, Oklahoma. Or do you want to go back to Tulsa? I said, I don't know the hospitals in Miami, Oklahoma. I want to go to Tulsa, which means we had a little bit of a drive, and so it took time or whatever. And the whole drive, I'm quoting the word. I'm doing nothing. My dad goes, I didn't know you knew that much word. I'm praying with the Spirit. I think my dad goes, I didn't know you were filled with the Spirit. But I tell you what, when you're hurting, you know, thank God that I had learned, and I know what the word said, I know what the scriptures say, I shocked my own father how much word I knew. But you know, I wouldn't have known that word if I wouldn't have heard that word. Now, you know, obviously I've heard more faith messages than probably anybody known the man, you know, because I grew up listening to him. But the thing about it is, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. So you know what? I've could have listened to, 10,000 messages, but if it's been 10 years since I've heard one, my faith is weak. We need to continue to hear. We need to continue to watch what's going on around about us, to watch what we say, watch, how we speak, and to know the word. I mean, the word is what changes us. And, and my grandfather always says, the things I remember the most is he says, I'm a stickler for the word. I mean, everything that he did and everything he taught us, both, from the platform and from the household or whatever, it was all based on the word. But if you don't know the word, then you wouldn't know it was from the word. Do you realize a lot of our laws and stuff are actually based upon things in the Bible? But we don't know that unless we know the word. And then you get some stupid person on USA Today saying that Christianity is archaic. Well, I know they might be idiotic, but the thing about it is, a lot of their laws of the land are based upon a lot of the things that were in the word. And they still are. And praise God, we are still one nation under God. There might be a lot of things wrong with this nation, but praise God, I still believe that the majority of people in this nation loves God, and we need to show it. You know, and that's something else. So sometimes people aren't hearing things come from your mouth because you're too shy to speak up who you really are. You know, and sometimes you let other people say things and let other people do things and you just listen because you just don't want to speak up. You know, but you are what you hear. You will become what you hear. You realize that if, you know, they always say, you know, that if you show someone your friends, they'll show you your future. If you don't like who you are, then change who you are. You know, and if you don't like how things are going in your life, then change what you're saying. Start speaking what the word says. And I have plenty of more scriptures we could read, but it's time to go. So the point is, keep hearing, keep reading, keep speaking. You know, and let's be more positive. And, you know, and let's get away from negativity. And so homework is that the next few weeks, few years, few decades to come, when you're in your house and something happens where you could respond in a positive way or respond in a negative way, do your best. When you have a choice to respond, you know, one way or the other, do your best to try to respond the right way. I know we want to all be 100% perfect, you know, but man, you can feel it in the atmosphere if you walk in a room, there's been tension or whatever, you know. But let's do our best to be more loving, you know, because, you know, the way we speak is what other people are hearing. And here's the thing, you know, how many times do you see what we call hypocrites? They say one thing, but they do something else. Don't be a hypocrite Christian. You know, live the way you are. Let's all stand up. Father God, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And Father, help us, first of all, to read the word, to know the word, to be a doer of God's word, but also help us to live God's word in our life. And help us to be a great example for our kids all the days of our life, no matter whether they're young or old. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching us online. And we thank you that they have a bright, bright future. And we thank you to help us to be able to do better. Whenever we have those times, whenever we could speak positive or could speak negative, help us to be more positive. Help us to be more loving and be more kind. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you need to be saved, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you're just going through a tough time and you want to talk to somebody. You want someone to pray with you. I mean, sometimes people just want someone to pray with them about a certain issue. We have some gentlemen down here. We have some ladies over there. If you happen to be a lady, you can see the ladies. Happen to be a gentleman, see the gentleman. If you don't know who you are, or what you have to tell you, I mean, we live in a different generation. If you don't know what you might be, talk to one of the ushers, the people here in blue, and they'll help you, direct you to the right location, all right? All right. I don't, if there's any first-time visitors, we're so glad to have you tonight. Hopefully that we didn't turn you off or whatever. But we do have a special gift we want to give you. And the team there, they'll take you back there and give you that special gift. Amen. Continue to pray for Mom and Dad and the Crusade team as they're in Kennedy, Texas. Amen. God's doing wonderful things. We're excited about what God's doing. Also excited tonight, Blake, my son, he got to speak to the youth tonight. He spoke to the youth on Sunday night, so it's awesome for him to give his testimony. But it's very special tonight was because Kennedy, Texas is about an hour and 10 minutes from Teen Challenge in San Antonio, where Blake was for so many months. And so I was actually on his Facebook that Austin, the guy, he's the leader there. He says, number of the guys are on the way. And so they're going to go and they get to hear him, you know, speak. So special time for him. So I'm sure he's probably done by now because, you know, I'm sure he didn't go more than an hour. All right, God bless you guys. Take care. Have a great day.